everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
What if you could ask God a question, any question at all, and you knew He would answer right there on the spot? My next guest attempts to tackle this question in his latest great read entitled The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe. But this is not just any guest or any book. It has been penned by one of America's most beloved pastors, authors, and teachers of God's Word. His inspirational writings have been shaped into best-selling books, videos, devotionals, songs, greeting cards, booklets, Bible studies, commentaries, and even theater-released movies. With over 120 million of his products having been printed in over 54 languages and 92 million books to date, any guesses yet? Well, he's called America's pastor. This Texas native makes his home in San Antonio with his beloved bride of over 30 years and his church, fondly called Oak Hills, of over 25 years. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, inspirational author, pastor, and speaker, Max Lucado. Pastor Lucado, welcome to Testimony.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you.
May I call you Max?
Yes, absolutely. You can call me anything you want.
Well, it's great to have you on the program here today. We're here to talk about your just released The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, and we are certainly going to get to that. But for right now, Pastor, in part one of our two-part conversation, would you just begin to tell our audience how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, some of your own personal struggles, and what you've had to overcome to become all that God has intended. Pastor Max, please tell us your story.
Now, do I need to limit this to about 2 or 3 hours?
If we had 2 or 3 hours, I would love...
It would take that long to tell it all. I grew up in West Texas. I'm the son of a mechanic. My mom was a nurse. My parents, just the salt of the earth. Great, great folks. And very, very blue-collar, lower middle class, small town upbringing. And I was taken to church every weekend and became a Christian actually when I was 10 years old. A gentleman taught a Bible class and explained that Jesus died for our sins and that we all get to choose if we're going to say yes or no to Him. And, well, I'm not too bright, but I knew I wanted to be with Jesus. And that it was basically that. I gave my heart to Christ on a Wednesday night. I was baptized the next Sunday and really did have a change of life as much as a 10-year-old can. At the age of 15, though, that's when my prodigal years began. I really fell in with their rough crowd. And where I grew up, it was all ranchers or football players. And both of those breeds of people can be kind of rough. And by the time I was 20, I could pretty well handle 2 six-packs of beer at a time. I had gotten in trouble in a lot of different places. Was not moral. I was did not think of others. I was very, very self-centered and prone to outbursts of anger, had a serious issue with temper, and just my life was headed in the wrong path. Gratefully, by God's wonderful grace, a friend of mine started taking me to church, urging me to go. And I would, just really out of respect for my parents and what they had taught me. I was away at college by this point. Mm-hmm. And there were many Sundays I went to church with a hangover. But that particular pastor, with whom I'm still a strong friend to this very day, he just explained the story of Jesus like I'd never heard it before. And what made it difficult for me was not to believe that Jesus could rise from the dead. I really did believe that. I just didn't think God could ever forgive me for the person that I'd become. And I don't know if there was a particular Damascus Road moment that made me believe that, but I think what happened is I realized I don't have any other choice. I've either got to throw myself fully on God's forgiveness and grace, or I'm out of here. And I did. I trusted the grace of God. Ephesians 2:10 became my favorite passage. For we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no one can boast. So grace has always made sense to me because I didn't have a plan B. I was not good enough. No one ever had to convince me that legalism was wrong because I knew I could not keep a legal system. I just knew it. And so soon after I dedicated, you know, came back to Christ, I decided I wanted to be a missionary, and I moved to Brazil within a few years. My wife and I moved to Brazil. We were there from 83 to 88. While we were in Brazil, I began writing and had two or three books published, and that's when I realized that really my call was to pastor and write more than be a missionary. So we said goodbye to Brazil. I found a church in San Antonio, Texas that was looking for a pastor. That was 1988, and here I am still in the church office to this day. All these years later, they're still trying to get rid of me, but I keep coming back.
Wow, that's a great story, and you summed it up beautifully. Now, in my reading about you, my little researching about you, did you at one time want to become a lawyer? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, during those college days, before I came back to Christ, I did. I thought, you know, I think I'd like to be a lawyer. I've always kind of been glib of tongue. I was on the debate team in high school and competed in speech tournaments, and so that skill set came easy, and so I began just, you know, thinking I might go into politics even. Now I know I would not have made a good politician.
Why is that?
Back then, I was just thinking. I'm a painfully shy introvert. I love writing because I can be by myself, and I can study, and I can read, and I can reflect. I love pastoring because I feel like I'm really ministering and loving people. But put me in a setting where I just need to hobnob or schmooze or shake hands or buddy up, you know, all those phrases. I just am very, very uncomfortable.
I don't think anyone would ever think that of you. You are just so real, authentic, natural. But please go ahead.
Well, yeah, I it's a challenge. Again, when I'm at church, you know, shaking hands with people, meeting people, greeting people, there's something about that works for me. I feel like I'm in my spot. But if I'm at a party and people are just milling around and shaking hands, and I can't quite put a finger on it, but all I know is that some people thrive in those settings where they're meeting one new person after another. If I'm not in church and I'm just shaking hands and meeting people, pretty soon I'm looking over to my wife and I'm pointing at my wristwatch. And I'm saying, honey, is it time? Can we slip out yet?
Well, you are known as one of the most inspirational authors of our generation today. You've written over 100 books, and the introduction of you really doesn't, I think, do what you've done justice. But you're never pointing to yourself, Max. You always seem to be pointing out and reaching out to others, which is very humble of you. Humility is very attractive. I want to get into your book a little bit now, and for a second segment, we're going to get a lot more into it, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe. You are known for your encouraging nonfiction and curriculum used by churches all over the world. Why did you decide to tell this story as a work of fiction?
You know, I love stories. I really do. And I love to read stories. I love movies. I enjoy attending or going to a good movie. I have felt a burden, I guess is a good word, like there's a lack of really just good, wholesome books that would entertain anyone without talking without using immorality or using, you know, blatant, you know, just stomach-turning violence. So often, Jinsing, I'll pick up a book and I'll start reading it, and I'll really get interested. And then about two or three chapters into it, it's something that, you know, we just shouldn't be talking about. And I don't mind, I mean, it sound old-fashioned, but so some years ago, I thought, well, maybe I could write a story that I'd be proud for my kids to read. And so I set out writing some fiction. I don't do it very often. This is my third fiction book. My other two were both related to Christmas, and this is not. This is not a holiday-centered book. But my goal is very simple. I just want to encourage people. I want to do it in a wholesome way. And I want to embed some teachings of Scripture in a story and have it in such a way that when people read it, they feel lifted up, they feel encouraged. And that's all I set out to do in this particular book.
Wow. Well, a good bit of the story involves conversations between angels who are interacting with the characters, expressing concern for them, and finding ways to be of service. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to inspirational author and speaker Max Lucado. His latest great release, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, and part one of our two-part conversation today. Pastor Lucado, do angels really walk among us?
Oh, I believe they do. You know, when you study Scripture and read about what the Bible says about angels in the book of Hebrews, it says, you know, for us to be hospitable to one another, because in doing so you may entertain an angel. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think it really could be that an angel would come and walk among us. I believe that the role of angels is to minister to the children of God, those who love God, and they come and they minister to us. It's a wonderful thought, too, you know, to think that God loves us so much that he would send heavenly creatures here to guard us and to protect us and to strengthen us and to help us. We know the Bible says that there are many, many angels. When Jesus was born, there was a great multitude of angels. The book of Revelation speaks of 10,000 times 10,000s of angels, so more than John could count. So there are angels everywhere, and those angels exist to encourage and minister to those who seek God and long for his coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to nationally acclaimed inspirational author and pastor Max Lucado. You can learn more about Max and get his latest great read, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, by going to maxlucado.com or wherever books are sold. Pastor Max, thank you for sharing just a little of your story with us on Testimony today. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the very real and amazing story of one of America's most prolific and inspirational writers and beloved pastors. His New York Times best-selling books have helped to shape culture, give hope, and renew faith in a God that many want to hear from, but just don't know how. The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, his latest great read, is no different. If God were available to answer any question at any time, over coffee and cappuccino, would you come? Would you please welcome back to Testimony for part two of my exclusive, a great honor indeed, internationally acclaimed author, speaker, and pastor, Max Lucado. Max, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's really a treat to talk to you.
Well, it is a treat for me. I want to get right into your latest great read, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe. But before we begin, I want our listeners to know up front where they can purchase their own copy at maxlucado.com. Join the conversation wherever books are sold. I also want to let our audience know that more than 120 million Lucado products have been printed in 54 languages, including 92 million books to date, having garnered national bestseller lists such as the New York Times, USA Today, Publishers Weekly, to name a few, as well as guest appearances on The Today Show, Good Morning America, Huckabee, and Fox and Friends. Max, your writings, songs, commentaries, greeting cards, the list goes on, have all become synonymous with the words inspiration and encouragement. So first question regarding your wonderful book. Chelsea Chambers finds herself in some pretty dire circumstances in your fictional story. As a pastor, you've counseled folks who aren't sure if they can hang on one more day. What do you say to them?
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I run into people all the time. In fact, just today I was talking with someone who was really facing a tough time, and I usually find myself coming back and sharing two or three things. One of them is I always encourage people not to give in to despair. Despair, to me, means no one understands what I mean, and I'll never get through it. Those are both lies. They're feelings. They're real feelings. I know we feel them deeply. But the truth is somebody does understand. Somebody else has been through this, and you will get through it. It may not be quick. It may not be easy. It may take weeks. It may take years, but you will. You will get through it. These are promises that come from Scripture. God has said that He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He won't just leave us there. He's the God who gets His people through things. So I think those two things. I say, now somebody understands this. Maybe there's somebody on your block or in your church or in your family who has gone through this. So go find someone. Find somebody who can help you, who can speak from experience. And don't give in to this thought that you'll never get through it, because that's the tool of the devil. It really is. I mean, that is a tool of the devil. He wants us to think we're stuck and life will never get better. Anytime those thoughts surface, a person needs to say, that's from the devil. I'm not taking that. I'm not going to believe it. I believe God is stronger than this. And, you know, it may not be an easy day, but behind every storm cloud, there's the sun. Just because a storm comes, it doesn't mean there's no sun. It just means that the sun is temporarily blocked. So hang in there, and that storm cloud's going to pass, and you'll get through it.
Amen and amen. And back to the central character of your book, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Max Lucado, his latest great read, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe. Chelsea struggles with the thought that she's not good enough at praying, that somehow God only listens to the really good prayers. How do you encourage people who feel this way?
Yeah, and she is a character in the book who, you know, just because of some struggles that she's had, always saw herself as a, well, maybe other people get prayer and she doesn't, or maybe other people are just born spiritual and she's not. I think there are many, many people like that. One of the beautiful things that Jesus taught us about prayer is, number one, the power of prayer is not in the one who says it, but in the one who hears it. That the power of prayer never depends upon our eloquence or our sophistication, but the power of prayer simply depends upon God's willingness to hear. And since He is willing to hear, then we can be confident in knowing that our prayers are heard. in the book, I tried to illustrate the wonderful things that happen, that when we pray, we activate some spiritual forces in heaven. Angels get involved. The Holy Spirit is responsive. There are powers that are invoked, supernatural powers. Things happen because we pray that would not have happened otherwise. I think that there are certain things that will never change because they're part of God's sovereign plan. But there are other things that we can change because God is involving us in the ongoing affairs of the world. We're His children, and He's equipping us, training us to interact with Him. And so I don't underestimate the power of a simple prayer. The power of prayer is not in the one who says it, but in the one who hears it.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. Now, you are a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. You obviously believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and as I'm listening to you, you obviously believe in fighting for your faith, that sometimes it is a struggle. It's a, quote, fight to keep your faith. At the Higher Grounds Cafe, in your book, a special internet connection allows coffeehouse patrons to ask God their questions and receive written replies on the spot. It sounds pretty good, but minus that special internet connection, Pastor Max, how can the rest of us trust that God hears our prayers? How did you learn that lesson?
Wouldn't it be great if we could have an internet cafe where we could go and interact with God? And it's just a fanciful idea that I had. You know, there are times, though, in Scripture where God does something like He never did before. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament where He spoke through a donkey. There's a story in the New Testament when Jesus appeared to Saul, who became Paul, on the road to Damascus. And so I don't think there's just a formula, a script for how God communicates with us. I think He has a variety of ways. But there are a couple of ways He always communicates with us. One of those is through Scripture. He does. He just talks to us through Scripture. So I think, as predictable as this may sound, I just think that we have to first go to God's Word and receive our instructions, our marching orders for each day. I think God talks to us through other people, people who are walking with God. I think that the counsel of a wise person is very, very valuable. I believe some people can encourage us, they can correct us, they can instruct us. And I would say that a lot of wisdom sits in our churches. And so if somebody's confused and they need wisdom, go to a church and find somebody to help you. And then I also think that God speaks to us personally, that He directs us. I sense every so often a nudging in my heart or a conviction. That's a bit ethereal. It's a little hard to put a hand around. But I think people who have heard God speak know it when God speaks. And I believe God does speak to us. So those are three ways for sure that He speaks to us. I can't say that I've ever been to a Higher Grounds Cafe and where God was answering questions on the internet. But if He ever offers, I'm going to be first in line to go there.
Well, you may just be starting something new. Do you realize this? This could go global. How can they join the conversation and come alongside and get involved with your latest book? It just sounds like a lot of fun, a lot of answers, a lot of encouragement, a lot of hope.
Well, I do hope that this book would, this kind of book, it's simply a story. It's all it is. It's just a story out of one person's imagination, in which I'm saying, here's how God might be at work. Here's what could happen. Let's enjoy this great holy privilege that we have to be called children of God. Fathers always want to communicate with their children. Let's look for every possible way for God to listen to God. By the way, I had two great friends help me on this project, Candace Lee and Eric Newman. They're screenplay writers. And I got this book, got it written, and then I thought, I wish I could get input from some people who are really professionals at expanding a story. And so I enlisted the help of Candace and Eric, and they pretty well doubled the length of the book, and they added some characters. Yeah. The main flow of the story, they didn't change, but they added some characters and some twists and turns that were just delightful. And so I really tipped the hat to Candace and Eric.
Wow, so will we see this in the theaters anytime soon?
Well, I think that'd be wonderful. Yeah, I don't have any plans. No one's approached me. But I think it'd be wonderful. Again, I love movies and I love stories. I just think there's such a dearth of wholesome stories, you know? There's such a need for it. And stories that communicate just a good, healthy, wholesome, and happy message. There's so much misery in the world, and we don't need any more movies that tell us how bad the world is, but it would be good to have a few more that tell us how great God is.
Right. Well, that's the byline of the Testimony Radio program, Max, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given, but the truth must first be told for anything to change. And I think when that change comes, that's when the hope comes. You have given your life, your time, your resources to share with the world over 100 books now in every medium, the hope that is in Christ Jesus, the hope that you found. I'm reminded of a scripture in the book of John. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you will find it. And it seems that's what you've done with your life, Pastor Lucado, for all of us. We are feasting on the riches that God has put within you, and you're putting them on paper and in the movies and devotionals and everywhere anyone can get the true gourmet menu of life through Christ. Last and very important question, how do you take your coffee?
Just a little cream, please.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Max Lucado, nationally acclaimed inspirational author and pastor. You can learn more about Max and get his latest great read, The Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, by going to maxlucado.com. Pastor Max, it has truly been an honor having you on Testimony. God bless you as you continue to encourage us all for His glory and the healing and saving of our nation. God bless you and thank you.
Well, Jen Singh, thank you very much. It's really been a treat.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jen Singh Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JenSineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jen Singh Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.